This is a CBC podcast.
Recently on the show, we've been talking about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder and what many say is a lack of services in this province. The IWK and a private clinic in Halifax do assessments for FASD, but there are no dedicated clinics for people with a disability. Francis Perry lives with FASD. He grew up on the South Shore and didn't get diagnosed until he was 19. He's now an advocate and motivational speaker. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
Well, you got your diagnosis when you were 19. What was that like?
It was like someone had lifted a huge weight off my shoulder.
Why do you describe it that way?
Well, for the longest time, I had no idea why I was the way I was, why I did things the way I did.
And why did you go to the IWK to get diagnosed? Who thought or suspected that you might have FASD?
Well, FASD was written on my adoption papers when I was adopted. And it just said in red ink, FAS, with a question mark. And, of course, back in 72 or 75 when I was adopted, there was not much information accessible to this disability.
What was it like for you as a kid who had a disability but nobody knew what it was?
It was hard to explain what was going on because certain things would trigger problems. Like sitting in a classroom environment, the fluorescent light bulbs would give off a hum. And when I'd be trying to pay attention to what the teacher was telling me, it was like Charlie Brown's teacher in the Charlie Brown movies, you know, So I was just looking at her lips moving and listening to the hum of the fluorescent light bulbs.
How were you as a student? How did that affect your learning?
With my focus is all over the place, like every time a car would drive by the window or a dump truck or a fire truck or anything that happened outside the window, I'd jump up and go, oh, what was that? So I was forever getting distracted.
And going through school, Francis, how did your classmates treat you?
Well, I was teased and I was humiliated a lot, and I guess that's just kids being kids.
And what about your teachers?
I was very fortunate to have good teachers. I had three memorable teachers that were very, very good, and they really sought out to look after my issues and stuff. So.
And where was this? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the South Shore of Nova Scotia in a little town called Barrington.
And you were adopted. How were your adopted parents when it came to supporting you, a child who had some challenges and they weren't really sure why?
They were amazing. They were great. I was very fortunate to have been adopted by family that cared a lot for me. Even though they didn't know what was going on and I didn't know what was going on, they always were trying to make sure that I got the best help that I could. And we saw a psychologist and a speech therapist and teachers and stuff that would help me.
And so you got your diagnosis at 19. Did the IWK set you up with follow-up services? Were those the services you're talking about, or were these ones that your parents accessed for you independently?
Well, how it came to be was I was at the Mi'kmaq Native Friendship Center, and I was waiting to meet with my parents, and I was sitting inside an office with a woman, Della McGuire. And Della said, I just took a course at Dalhousie. I think I know a doctor that could get him diagnosed. And my mom was just over excited over the fact that I could get some help. And she said, anything that you can do to help my son, it would be greatly appreciated, because at that time, I was homeless. I was on the streets. I was panhandling, no income. And I was just blowing in the wind. Unfortunately, there wasn't any other. That was it. I was diagnosed. But lucky for me, I had Della McGuire, and she took me in under her wing. She came to me one day and asked if I would share my life story at a little conference that they were going to have for the daycare staff. And so I went, and I think I did a little talk about 10 minutes, and that was about it. That was my life story. And now I spend an hour and a half, and I travel all across Canada sharing my life story in hopes that history won't repeat itself.
So now when you travel and you talk about your story and in at length, what have you heard from people who also have FASD?
I get a lot of people that will come up to me after I've done my presentation and go, you know what you've explained, I think, is my problem. You know, they come up to me and they go, oh my goodness. You know, even people who have had a really good life, they think, my goodness, I've had these, you know, questions in my life, why I do these stupid things, and now I think I understand, you know? So it's kind of comforting at the same time to know that there's other people living like me that have the same disability, but at the same time, it's kind of heartbreaking to see that other people are suffering with this. You know, it would be nice to see some kind of like a drop-in center where parents could go with their children and could spend the day with a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone specialized in just fetal alcohol spectrum disorder and be able to communicate with these people and talk and share their struggles and somehow find a support system.
And so now, at 47, how would you say that FASD still affects you and your life?
Well, I have found my coping mechanisms. So I understand my limitations. I understand, for example, you know, you can't sit down and drink a 2-4 and expect that everything's going to be okay. So I understand that alcohol is not something that I should have in my life. But, you know, I just see other people, and I try to help them the best that I can.
Well, Francis, I really appreciate you talking to us about your own personal experience with FASD and that journey and how you're helping other people. Thanks for talking to us this morning, Francis.
Thank you.
And that's Francis Perry, an advocate and motivational speaker with FASD.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.